Right back at it with another edition of the Kicking It with the Colonels podcast. Wes and KJ here with you, and we're going to talk some EKU sports. We got a special guest joining us here in just a little bit. We're going to talk some softball with Lily Davis as well. Really interesting interview with her and conversation with her that we'll have in just a little bit. But KJ, we begin with the baseball comeback, the epic mess from Sunday. Down 5-0, EKU scores 9 in the 8th.
Yeah,
to win that game 9-5. It's one of the greatest comebacks I've seen in a long while. Hey, have you ever had a game like that where you just look so dead in the water and then just one inning late changes that dramatic outcome of the game?
Yeah, it's actually more common than you think, honestly. We've had a couple of those. Like, I feel like the later you go towards the season or in the season, like, the more often those kind of games come because you're just kind of like, there's nothing else to lose. Like, you might as well, you know. But I feel like this is the baseball team that everybody has been waiting to see. So it's good to finally see them, you know, come to life a little bit, for sure.
Well, it started with Maury Bejarano had a double. And then if you go by the analytics, Walt Jones making the decision to pinch hit Diego Alana, who has been their best hitter all year long.
Mm-hmm.
He goes with his gut feeling and brings on Boone Chevy, and on his senior day he gets a double that drives in two, and that was kind of the first hit that got everything going. And when it comes from a unlikely source like that,
yeah,
what does that do to a team?
That just, like, literally, like, I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking about it. Like, that's just such a big moment, especially for, like, a senior.
Yeah,
just to, like, be the one to, you know, start the rally, get everybody going. And then it's just like, if you're looking at it from, like, a team standpoint, it's, hey, like, my senior just did this on his senior day, so I'm going to have his back and keep going.
You look at the numbers, and Diego Alana was a 290 hitter, Boone Chevy, in limited opportunities, so it's a little bit of a small sample size, but just barely above 100 with the average. So, I mean, like I said, it was something that you wouldn't look at the analytics and say, this is a move we got to make. And I think sometimes coaches go with what the analytics say as opposed to a gut feeling or what they think will happen. And it's just a really cool moment.
Yeah.
And then it also, if you go on down, AJ Grunewald got an RBI. Colby Ott, his double tied the game. Mm-hmm. Silas Schaefer got a triple there to take the lead. And then a sacrifice fly by Bejarano again, and then just for added insurance, Tate Nunley hit a home run all in that eighth inning. And it was one of the most productive innings for a long while. And not only did it win the game, but it also won the series.
Yeah.
That was a huge win. And I know you girls talk about it all the time. Baseball talks about it all the time. You want to win series.
Yeah, absolutely. They're coming around to the end of the season, so they need to win these next couple of series just to even make the tournament. So this was an absolute huge series for them to take, for sure.
Yeah, and they Bellarmine having a doubleheader with Austin Peay, so they are within striking distance. They're not totally eliminated yet, so it is going to be very key there in the final two series left. There is two series left, both on the road, unfortunately, because I know that they play really well at home, but there are two conference series remaining. I want to congratulate Walt Jones and the Colonels for that series win over Central Arkansas. It was a really big win for them. Football, we talked about the other day with Mike Smith signing that UDFA deal with the Cowboys. And since the last time we joined you, there's been a couple more additions to the Pro Football League, but it's been in the CFL, the Canadian Football League. They play football over there. So you want to say congratulations to Vince Munwin, who signed a free agent deal with the Montreal Alouettes of the CFL on just a couple days ago on Thursday. Munwin and also his offensive line teammate, Peyton Collins, signing with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and both of those offensive linemen. So I think it really says a lot about your offensive line over the last couple of years when you have two guys like that go on to sign professional contracts. And I think over the last couple of years, we've been spoiled with that offensive line.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we just had one transfer to Purdue, if I'm not mistaken. So that offensive line has definitely been big in the last couple of years, for sure.
Also, don't want to forget Josh Carter, who has had a really monster year last year for EKU. He got a rookie minicamp invite with the Buffalo Bills, and want to love to see him crack that roster. I know it's,
yeah.
When you get those rookie minicamp invites, it's oftentimes difficult to make that roster, but all you want is an opportunity.
Yeah.
And Josh has that.
And that's all you need is just a little, like, crack in the door just to get in for sure. And it's good that it's a great team. Like, Buffalo Bills had a huge season last year, so I'm excited to see what happens there.
Yeah, certainly is. And, you know, he was so good for EKU last year with over 1,200 rushing yards, 14 touchdowns. Those three touchdowns he had late in those three games, just unbelievable. I could watch that on repeat for days. It was really remarkable. A little over 5 yards per carry. So want to say congratulations to all those signing deals to play professionally as well. And, you know, that really that's all you want. You dream of playing a game and you want to play professionally and to get that opportunity. I know that means a lot to them.
Yeah, absolutely. They're getting to live out the dreams that they had as a kid. So I'm excited for them. I congratulate them for coming so far and putting in the hard work to receive these opportunities. And I'm excited to see what they do with it.
We're putting a wrap here on the kind of getting toward the end of the semester. So sports starting to wind down. Mm-hmm. Baseball wants to try to get into that ASUN tournament. And in a softball, just securing that number 2 seed. Congratulations to you for winning the gold division. That was kind of what you set out for. And we'll talk a little softball here in just a little bit with Lily Davis. But when you get to that tournament field and you're coming up this week, I know that's your goal is to certainly win that thing. And what do you think that it's going to take to be able to win that tournament?
Honestly, I think the main thing is the energy. It's just going to take over-the-top energy. Like, we can't come out dead. We can't come out even just a little bit okay. Like, it has to be extra or else the team, they're going to run all over us.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's certainly going to be good to see the Colonels. And hopefully you're playing lots of games in the month of May. And hopefully you can win this tournament and go on to the national tournament as well. So we're going to lead into our conversation with Lily Davis, our catcher and DP here on the softball team, and get a conversation with her. Our guest today here on the Kicking It with the Colonels podcast, we're going to talk some softball, and it's Lily Davis joining us here on the podcast. And really excited about this one because we got two softball players joining us here today. So they're going to battle it out, and I'm just going to step out to the side. And KJ and Lily are going to talk. But Lily, appreciate you joining us here today.
No, thank you. Of course. Thanks for having me.
Lily comes over from Louisville. Big weekend for your hometown, running the Derby. Are you a big Derby fan?
I've been like once, but usually people go to Derby or Oaks. But Derby's really for the famous. And if you got the money, yeah, you can go.
So you have been once?
Yeah, I've been once. It's been a while, but usually I go to the track sometimes, like, you know, in the summer or something with my friends before I'll go to Derby. So
that's always been a bucket list of mine, just to attend one. I've never been.
Yeah, I was going to say the one experience is usually fun. But after that, it's like, all right, I'm done spending money.
And especially here in Kentucky, you never know what the weather's going to be.
Right,
It could be like what it was this weekend. It'd be very sloppy. Right. And kind of be miserable.
I was going to say, usually Derby, it rains every single year. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But
KJ has no idea what you're talking about.
No idea. Like, I don't understand the outfits. Don't understand. Like, are we supposed to bet on the Derby? Like,
girl, bet. Yes. There's so much money that goes into it. It's crazy. I don't see how people sit there all day and do it.
Yeah.
Because me personally, I hate spending my money unless I have to. So it's like, why would I put $100 on this horse? I have no idea, like, who they are. Like,
yeah,
you know, so.
For me, I work hard enough to earn my money. I don't want to spend it just like throwing it out
there. Yeah, right.
Now coming up, final exams right around the corner. Mm-hmm. Ready for those?
Yeah, I have a presentation, which I'm not a big fan of, but, you know, just got to get it over with, get it done. But so far, everything's good. So
you take BP before a game, and we're going to kind of take BP to get you kind of warmed up and before we get into the meat of this.
Okay.
Take us through what your perfect day would look like without softball. There's no softball. It's an off day for you. Take us what your perfect day would be from start to finish.
I would get up, eat breakfast, probably go to the gym or something, work out a little bit. Either I would have my mom come visit me, or I would, you know, she would say, no, I'm too busy, you know, I have to go down there. But probably just really spend the time with her, go shopping, you know, do girl things, get our nails done. I know softball is not really a girly sport, but me on the inside, my heart says I'm a girly girl, okay? So, but yeah, probably just go down there, spend time with her, my family. I'm a big family person, so it means a lot to me just, like, spending time with them and stuff. But just, I mean, I might go hit at the end of the day. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, just, you know, being around my family and friends, I guess. But if I could actually travel, I'd probably go to Florida and be on the beach. But, you know, with softball and stuff like that, I can't really do what I want, really, actually. So, but.
Do you have a, sorry, go ahead.
I heard off day, and that's just a perfect day. And yeah.
Do nothing else.
That's right.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a canceled game, and then you have the off day after. Okay, now we're talking.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But
do you have a pregame routine that you like to do? Are you a stickler about that, or is it just kind of whatever?
Really, it's not really a pregame routine, but if I wear, like, certain socks one day, and I hit a home run, or, you know, I get on base, like, I'm 3-for-4 or 4-for-4 that day, I'm like, okay, I got to wash these socks and wear them again for the next game or something like that. So it's not really a, like, pregame ritual, but I'm really superstitious when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah. I feel like you have to be with this sport because, like, there's so many things that could go wrong. So you just hold on to the little.
Yes.
That's not going to go right.
Yeah. Like, failure is literally, like, 90% of the game. So it's like, if I do something right, you know, might as well try to keep doing it.
You must be wearing the right brand of socks right now.
Yeah.
Because okay. Yeah, it's going good.
I was
going
to say, I've been seeing them all real well right now, huh?
Something that you are really particular about, whether it's something softball related, but like something you're an absolute stickler about, no matter what it is, that you're very like, that has to be done this way.
I would say, let's see. I feel like having a dirty car, like riding around, some people would say, okay, the inside of my car, it gets a little messy. But I feel like the outside of my car, I always have to like go take a deep wash. Like if there's any dirt on it, I feel like I'm just riding around. Like people are going to judge how my car looks and stuff like that. So I feel like just it kind of gives me anxiety too, like when stuff's dirty. I'm very like particular about that. And being unorganized, like especially like homework or like, I don't know, it's my softball bag and stuff like that. Like I have to have everything in a certain spot or I won't be able to find it. And it's like if it's not in that spot, it like makes me overthink all day. So it's like I have to have it in the same spot. I have to know where everything's at. I was actually freaking out yesterday about not being able to find my A-Sun ring that we got for regular season. And I was calling my mom because she comes over and she cleans my room sometimes. Thanks, Mom. But I was like, Mom, I don't know where my ring is. Like, I have no idea where my ring is. And she was like, you must have put it, like, just track your steps. You don't, you know, you must have put it somewhere that you forgot. And I'm just like, I have no idea. So I was overthinking about that all day yesterday. Finally, this morning, I found it. It was in my little nightstand. Yeah, I'm like, thank you, Lord. But, yeah, just being organized and, like, yeah, being clean and organized, yeah.
So is your locker kind of one of the cleanest in the team? Yeah.
Yes. It's insane. It doesn't make any sense because I'm a clean person, too, and I'm very organized. But my locker is a mess, and I cannot do anything about it because it just gets dirty, like, the next day, regardless. But hers is insanely organized, insanely clean. It looks like something you'd present to, like, a recruit or something.
You may just need to call up Lily's mom or, yeah, you know, slide some money or well, say, hey, while you're in here cleaning, just go over my locker.
Oh, she will. Trust me. She will come in and clean. That's one thing she will do. She will come in and clean. Like, she doesn't care what it is. If, like, if something's messed up, she's in there. Because I don't know if she just has, like, OCD or if she just can't sit down. But, like, she's always cleaning something. Every time she comes to my house, she's like, why is this there? Why is this there? I'm like, you know what? I've been traveling for I don't know how many weeks. I can't sit here and clean all this up. So.
I get that. I think I've got a really touch of OCD. Because, like, if I see a remote on a table and it's, like, sideways, I'll have to turn it back straight. Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah.
So I understand. I resemble that.
If there's something moved in her house, I swear, she can, like, I can literally move the slightest thing. And she will come in and be like, that's moved. Who moved that? Like, I swear, she sees everything. She knows where everything's at in her house. It's insane. Like, my stepdad, she gives him crap about it all the time. But he will move, like, the camera just a little bit. And she'll say, so what were you trying to do? Why'd you move the camera? And he's like, how did you notice? I don't understand. But yeah.
I'm sure men being men will try to test that too, just to see what can I do that maybe she won't notice.
Right. No, yeah.
Yeah. Who was someone that you looked up to at an earlier age, whether it was a softball player or just a person in general that's you kind of said, hey, I want to be like this person. Mm-hmm. Did you have anybody like that?
Yeah. I would say my mom, my parents, but more particular my mom, because she was always very independent, and I felt like she didn't need anybody to do anything for her, and she worked really hard to raise me and my brother, and obviously my dad was there too to raise us, but she worked three jobs to sacrifice and get me to where I am now. So I just think that she's just a strong, strong woman. And growing up seeing that, I was like, dang, like, that's someone that I want to be. I want to be independent and I want to be able to make my own decisions in life. And I don't want to depend on anybody to, you know, have to be there for me or, you know, pay my bills or, you know, get me through like a tough situation. So I would say definitely my mom, just growing up and seeing how like strong of a person she was.
Major kudos to her. Three jobs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's insane.
Same.
All right. So let's talk a little softball now. The regular season just concluded. And this was for both of you all. How do you feel that the body of work was in the regular season? I know you're excited about going over to the tournament here this week, but kind of recapping the regular season, what did you all get out of it that you're ready for for the tournament?
What's on you, girl? Honestly, I think we're young right now. So I think that people like freshmen and young players stepping up was really big for us this year. We have all the tools and we just got to take it to conference now. I think we're ready, honestly. But just, you know, we talked a lot about like being intentional, and every day you have to bring the same intensity, the same energy, no matter who you're playing, if it's the best person in the conference, the worst person in the conference. So at the beginning, we were doing a really good job of that. And here at the end, we've kind of been getting shaky with the first game of the series coming out dead. But I think that going into conference, you know, we can't take any game lightly, because you play and if you lose, hey, you go home. So it's really just like you got to come in with the same intensity no matter who you're playing. And I think that the younger girls this year have really stepped up, and Maddie Rutan being Maddie Rutan, what can I say? But just, you know. And also you can go back to not always, I mean, yes, Maddie pitches and she hits and stuff like that, but I think just being a team, not always like counting on maybe like her, KJ, another person that's doing really good this year. Not counting on them to get the job done. Me and KJ were talking about that the other day. It's like, every time someone gets up, it's like our teammates should be able to say like, hey, we believe that she can do it, instead of, you know, the person with the highest batting average on the team. So, but I think we're ready overall.
Yeah, I definitely agree. She covered everything. I think not relying on like one specific party, a couple of people is insanely important. I think if we do a good job at everybody doing their job, everybody coming up big in the situations that they need to come up in, then we'll be fine for conference. But if we're just relying on a couple of people, then we're going home. Yeah.
What do y'all think it'll take to win? Because you had postseason experience last year, come up short. What do you think it'll take to win this year?
I really think just, you know, not saying, sometimes we get caught up on how many games you have to win to get to the championship, or, oh my gosh, if we lose this game, we're going to have to play again today. And if we lose that, we're going to go home, like not really getting caught up on that, kind of just being in the moment and taking it game by game, pitch by pitch, and just really locking in and being intentional about what we're doing, making early adjustments, because there's, you know, another side of the conference that we haven't seen. So say we get one of them first game, it's like, well, we haven't seen them play and they haven't seen us play. So we need to make adjustments early and get on top before they come after us. So
yeah, when we're filming this, we don't know who you're going to play right now. So there is that possibility that you could play one of those teams, I believe Florida Gulf Coast. I think Queens is also in that same bracket as you all. But how challenging could that be to face a team that you've never seen? I guess it can kind of go both ways. They've never seen you, but how challenging is that for you all?
Honestly, it's going to be pretty challenging just because last year we played almost everybody in the conference. So I think that side of the bracket, they have some pretty good teams that are playing right now, especially like North Florida. They've only lost once or twice. But I think just going in and kind of like how I said, we haven't seen their pitchers. So after that first time through the lineup, like if we're not making adjustments or if we're not getting on base at that time, the second time through, hey, we need to be getting on. And then really going back to like telling your teammates what you see up there. That's something that me and KJ do. Every time she hits or I hit, we're like, hey, what's a scouting report on this girl? And that's really actually helped me this year, just her coming up, because I think that she sees the ball really well up there. And if I go up there, I know she's a lefty and I'm a righty, so it kind of mixes up a little bit. But she's like, hey, this girl's, you know, changeup's dropping off. I would scoot up in the box a little bit if you're going to sit that, if you're going to hit that with two strikes. So that really helps me. But just everyone doing that and defense always being ready. I think we've done pretty good with defense this year. So just making adjustments and not taking a team for granted, honestly, would be the biggest deal.
Both of you are returners from last year. There was a lot of success last year, but ultimately the prize that you wanted fell a little bit short. Is there an edge for you two based off of what happened last year, not coming up and getting that goal that you're going to take into this year?
Yeah, I would say last year we were really good. And I think that, you know, we had the opportunity to get to the championship game and win, if that. But also I think it goes back to, like, I'm trying to think on how to say it, but it's like, I feel like this year's kind of a get back year, because it's like we got taken out by the first team, or we came in third, but like North Florida, they took us out. So I think it's kind of like a get back year. Like, it was kind of disrespectful, honestly, because of how good we did during like the season and stuff. And then people just come in and you're on this winning streak, and then in conference all of a sudden it's like somebody beat you and you're like, whoa, like you don't even know what to do. So just going off that, I think that like we have to be ready to go this year no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm still an underclassman technically, so I'm still in the learn— there's a groundhog over there and it's really scary. But I'm still in the learning aspect of things, just learning how to play with this team, learning how to play college in general. This is my first full year that I've played out. But, no, definitely, you know, we still have a target on our backs just from winning the regular season last year, winning our side of the regular season this year. So there are people coming after us for sure. So, yeah, there's definitely a little chip on our shoulder. And I do really hope that we learn from last year and kind of come out a little bit bigger this year for sure.
What do you think, for both of you, what do you think is the biggest difference between this year's team and last year's team? That maybe there's something or a piece that this year's team has that last year's team did not?
I would definitely say team chemistry. Last year, I know it looked like we were all like very close on the field, because that's just how we played and we were good. But I think off the field, there was not like— the team chemistry really wasn't there. So I think this year everyone gets along. Everyone, you know, is there for each other, no matter what. We hang out so much that in like during season. And I feel like we haven't really got tired of each other yet, if you know what I'm saying. Like, I know a lot of teams, they have like seasons where they get tired of each other, and when conference comes up, they're like, we just want to go home. We just want to, you know, get on vacation and be away from our teammates. But this year, I think that our team chemistry has been like a top thing that we've had. And I think that's why we are playing so well right now, and why the younger athletes right now are stepping up for us, because they're comfortable. And last year, I feel like a lot of people were kind of timid, a little bit on the edge. But this year, people are comfortable, and they're not really worried about what someone else has to say because of how close that, like, we've gotten to them and how welcoming we were to them.
You never get tired of KJ?
No, I can never get tired of my dog.
But yeah, on that topic, I feel like that goes into, like, being able to rely on one another. You know, because we are, like, actual friends, we're not just teammates, we can support each other, and, like, say a pinch hitter comes in, we're all on that pinch hitter, and that pinch hitter is going to get the job done regardless. So I think last year we kind of relied on, you know, Janae and Maddie for the most part. So this year, it actually being a team, I think that's going to help a lot for sure.
Yeah, definitely. For you, Lily, what do you think has been the biggest difference in your game? Because if you look at it, I know you probably don't want to hear this, but your career high is in so many offensive categories. What do you think has been the biggest difference for you personally?
Honestly, I have more of a big reason right now while I'm playing. Like, my dad passed away in June. So I feel like me having the want is more there this year, just because I want to do it for him. And he was always here. Like, if I wasn't hitting good, I would be like, okay, well, I could just go hit with my dad. But this year, I've really had to learn that I have to figure it out for myself. I mean, I also have to, like, depend on my coaches, but he's always been my hitting coach. And I feel like I could just, if I don't do good this game, I could just call dad, you know, and go to him, and he'll get me back on track. But I feel like this year is like, if I don't do good in a game, I'm like, okay, well, now I have to remember what I was taught. And the beginning of the year was kind of shaky just a little bit, because it was different not seeing him in the stands. And I felt like that kind of had an impact on me just a little bit, because my mom works and she can't make all the tournaments, like, away stuff. But he had his own business, so he was there every single game, all game, and he would never leave. But it's like, now I've kind of adapted to him not being in the stands, and I think that's why I'm more relaxed now at this end of the half, just because it's like, yes, he's here. I know he's here with me, but I've kind of just learned how to adapt with, like, if I don't do good in the game, okay, now I have to go work out by myself and remember what he's taught me, and, you know, just do it for him. Like, I feel like just my why is kind of bigger this year. I mean, I've always had a why, and it was because my parents and for my family, but just, you know, him not being there was a little rough, and now that I'm adapting to it, I feel more relaxed, like, that, okay, yes, he's never going to be in the stands again, you know, but, like, just knowing that he's still there, and before every game, I talk to him. I pray while we're doing the national anthem, and I just ask him to help me if I'm, you know, struggling, especially in the beginning of the year, I was struggling a little bit, but, and I see now that I've kind of, me talking to him before the game helps me. It gives me, like, that comfort and peace that, like, all right, yeah, like, he's with me, he's here, and just play. Like, don't worry about anything else. Just play, have fun. I only have one more year left, so what's the worst thing that can happen? You know what I'm saying? So
that's remarkable. Yeah. Major kudos to you. How have you transitioned into the DP role? Because I know that sometimes that can be a little challenging, because you're only playing half of the side of the ball, but it's a really big role. And how have you adjusted from catcher to DP?
Yeah, so at the beginning of the season, Skyler was playing catcher, and, man, she was doing great. Like, I had to give it to her. She was doing great, and she still is doing great. But I kind of had to accept the role that, like, Skyler, like, she's doing good, and coach also wants her in the lineup too. So just being a DP, it was a lot of pressure at first, because I'm like, well, if I don't hit, I can't do anything else on defense because I'm not out there. But the first tournament, Coach Zoe, I remember telling me, she was like, hey, if you're not catching and you're just hitting, don't put the extra pressure on yourself. You know, just go up there and continue to hit and do what you know, do like what you're capable of. So I think just kind of going back to like just having fun, being relaxed in the DP spot and not going up there like, oh my gosh, I have to hit, I have to get a hit, I have to score these runs. Like just being relaxed and playing free, I guess. And just knowing that like whoever's on deck, like they got my back. And just because I'm the DP, yes, I mean, usually DPs, they can rake. Okay, but
you can rake too.
I mean, yes, but like the beginning of the year is love, you know what I'm saying? But no, it's just, I kind of accepted that role just, you know, I know some people would like tell Skylar, like, or they would kind of be jealous of like her taking, you know, their position or whatever. But I feel like just me personally, like, she's been doing great. Like, I have to give it to her. She's been doing great. And I felt like I came up to her the first game and I was like, hey, like, I don't want you to think like I'm never going to be mad at you. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm just that teammate that's here to support you and I want you to do great. I know you're a freshman and it's a big role being a catcher because that's basically the leader of the field. So I kind of like not handed it over to her, but like I told her like, hey, like if you ever need help, just let me know. Like I'll always be here for you. I'm not going to be mad. Like, hey, you're doing great back there. But just kind of going off that, it's like, I kind of depend on my teammates this year more than I have in the past years because of our team chemistry. And I know that if I don't get it done, someone else will. But me personally, and KJ knows this, I like to step up and do, you know, like if there's a winning run on third base, if I don't get the job done, I'm going to be disappointed. I swear I will. But just knowing, you know, like I have other opportunities to get it done if I don't get it done that time. So I mean, I love to hit. That's my favorite thing to do. I liked it better than catching, and I still do. So yeah,
because catching's pretty demanding.
Oh yeah, pretty for demanding. Sure. I was gonna say, and you get beat up back there. I swear my knees feel like they're like one's 90, one's like 85. So you know they're catching up with you.
Always take a beating.
Yeah.
And just talking about a little bit about kind of your leadership skills of Skylar, because I'm sure that makes her a little bit more relaxed to come up and be a freshman and say, okay, I know that somebody else has my back behind her. So I'm sure that that's kind of helped her along in the process too.
Yeah, for sure. I think she's, you know, she works hard. She's back there. She's doing her best. And every day at practice, you know, we talk about stuff all the time, just catching stuff, the game in general, especially at practice. But like when she's practicing her throwdowns or something at practice, I'm right there with her, even though like I might not catch in the game or whatever, but like I'm letting her know like, hey, you can do this and you know this on your throwdown, and coach is right there too, just coaching her up. But I think just being an upperclassman, I would want someone, if I was a freshman, I would want someone to be there like that for me. So I think that growing up, I've learned how I would want a upperclassman to be, and just really trying to give that to her while she's, you know, playing a big role is just important to me, and it's probably important to her. So
when you're in the DP role, what do you do when the team is on the field? Are you the biggest cheerleader? Are you popping sunflower seeds? What do you do?
Usually, I'm a cheerleader. Okay, I'm not that vocal, but I definitely cheer my teammates on. I think KJ, you know, she's probably beating me on the vocal side out there on the field. But I do eat sunflower seeds. I'm not going to lie, I do. But no, I'm really just there. I try to pay attention. I mean, sometimes if the game's boring, I kind of lose focus a little bit. And I'm like, all right, Lily, come on, let's go. Step it up a little bit. But I just really try to be there for my team. And you know, every time they come in from the three outs, like, hey, I want to be the first one out there to give them high fives because they're doing something that I'm not doing. And defense wins championships. So, yeah.
Yeah. Just to add on to that, I will say this year I've seen a different side of her for sure. Like, she's been a lot more supportive, like verbally and physically. Like, she might have had internal support last year, but like I've gotten more high fives from her this year than I've ever in my life. So she's definitely been, it seems like she's studying the game a lot more this year, and very like she's helping me at second base, and she's a catcher, so it's like, I don't know, but it does help a lot for sure. I can't speak for the rest of the team, but it's helping me a lot.
Does she have those special handshakes with everybody?
No.
Take us back to your high school days now, playing at Louisville Mail. I know you had a really nice career there, had played on a really good, outstanding team there. How much do you think that that helped being a part of a wing team like that ease the transition into college?
Oh, yeah. It was huge, honestly. I had a great coach, Coach Josh Bloomer. He's actually at Arizona State right now, but I think he was harder than my dad. And not a lot of people can say that because their parents are the hardest on them, but he definitely got me ready. I actually played for Butler High School my seventh grade year on the varsity team. Eighth grade year, I transferred over to Mel and then played there my next 4 years. But I think just him pushing me to that limit just made me that much better as a player. And we were really good in high school. Team chemistry was great. Just, I guess, like growing up, watching Mel, just knowing what kind of program they were, I knew that I had to step up during high school. And the, like I said before, the senior class, like they were very welcoming, which made me like relax more. You know, I had a hard coach, but they always calmed me down. And we just knew everybody had a role and a responsibility on the team. And I think that going into college, that's something else that you have to bring. But just having him make me just that, you know, 10 times better player kind of also helped me. And me and him always talked about, you know, like where I would go for college and where he sees me at. And he wrote me a senior letter and stuff like that. And he was like, hey, you know, if you don't go to the big programs, like, that's fine, you know what I'm saying? And I think that kind of gave me a little bit more comfort too, that if I'm not going Power 5, like, don't be upset. D1's D1. And only 1% of, you know, high school athletes do that. So just having him as a coach, he's the hardest. He's the hardest coach I've ever played for. And I think that just made me better and it made me ready for college. So
I'm sure you have very fond memories of that undefeated season.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That was great. It's actually kind of sad because COVID was the next year and we had everybody coming back except one person. So that's a little sad, but Jazz, if you're watching, you could probably back me up. But no, it was great. I think we didn't get caught up in the undefeated, you know, record. We just went out there and I feel like we walked with like a chip on our shoulder. Every time we stepped into a ball field, like they knew like, yeah, they're going to be good. That's Mel High School, you know what I'm saying? And Mel, I think Mel anyways is known for athletics and just us walking in there with the chip on our shoulder. It was like, yeah, we know we're them. But
it was a roster just stacked with Division I athletes. So yeah, there's probably, I would say 8 to 10 probably still playing right now.
Oh,
is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Either that or they just graduated. So yeah.
Do you still hold the home run record there?
I do.
Do you remember the one that puts you over the top? Because I know hitters got a really identical memory.
I was going to say, me being in high school, I wasn't really caught up in, like, my stats and stuff like that. My mom was. Trust me, my mom was. But my dad used to always say, like, if you're going to hit the ball hard, hey, it's going to find, you know, it's going to find a way out there. So I don't really vividly remember my home run that put me over, but like I remember them posting about it and stuff afterwards. But the one I do remember is the walk record.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm like,
about that.
Yeah, home run and walks. That's insane. No, but it's like, I do remember that because I didn't even think I walked that much in high school, honestly. Like, I felt like I was up there swinging for the fences every time, but I do remember the walk, but the home run, I just remember them posting about it. I don't really remember like the actual home run that put me up there.
Where do you think you get your good eye at the plate? Because I've said it all in almost every game, calling the games, is you have one of the best plate discipline approach that I've seen at the college level. How do you have such a good vision of where the strike zone is? Is that from being a catcher?
Yeah, it does come from being a catcher, knowing, like, I see the spin good a lot on when I'm hitting, and I think that has a lot to do with catching because I catch so many different pitchers, and I have all my life. It's like, I know what this pitch does. I know what this pitch does. So just, you know, yes, that has a big impact. But I think also growth as a player. I didn't have great discipline my freshman year or my sophomore year. And I think I talked a lot about it with coach, and I seen my, like, I go back and watch film and I seen myself getting out a lot on like bad pitches. And I'm like, if I want to stop getting out, I want to stop striking out. Yeah. I got to stop swinging at those pitches. So I think this year I felt more relaxed in the box overall, but I think just going back to, you know, like just seeing the ball like down, seeing the ball deeper. I'm always early. KJ knows this. I'm always early on everything. So I think I had to figure it out, you know, and it's like whenever I used to practice with my dad, he would throw me balls and strikes. So, I mean, he might throw me 3 balls in a row before I get a good pitch to hit. And that was just how we practiced all the time. So I think just going back to, you know, that this year, especially because he's not here to do that anymore, just really growth as a player just helped me out a lot.
Before we get into this wheel here, I know you're kind of excited about that, but I want you to think this next question through carefully because it might get you in trouble.
Okay.
Describe Jane Worthington in as few words as possible.
Let's see. I think my number one answer would probably be is she's just very supportive, if you know what I'm saying, especially through this whole situation with my dad. She's been there. Like, she's been there since day one, whenever he left. But definitely supportive, and she's going to tell you how it is. Like, I've been in her office plenty of times to know that she's going to tell you the truth. She's going to tell you how it is. And I've kind of accepted that. I mean, freshman year was a little hard because, like, you don't always want to hear the truth. But I think that's, like, I don't know. She's very blunt, but it's not in a bad way. She wants to see you at your best. Like, she wants to see you at the best of your ability. And she wants to see the player that you are. She doesn't want to see someone behind the scenes. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's very well said. And I think you would agree with that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I would also add smiley. I don't think I've ever seen her frown in my life. It's just always, yeah.
Unless it's at an umpire.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All right, you ready for this wheel?
I'm ready.
All right.
We haven't even talked about her yips.
What?
Yips. Have you not seen them?
Go for it.
Oh.
No, okay. I don't. This is brand new information.
Really? You haven't noticed them at all?
No.
Okay. So, she has yips. Okay. I'm going to let her explain it.
Okay.
It's basically a mental block where, like, you do something. I don't know. It's like you do something, and then all of a sudden, your brain, like, blocks out that, like, so I can throw, but it's like I have a hesitation a little bit. So, it's like my brain kind of blocks off, like, it's almost like your brain forgets how to throw again, mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Like, you just forget how to do it. And it's like, every time you try to, it's like, no, like, your body won't let you. So, yeah, but yeah.
I know what yips are, but I thought yips was like, Bruno, you don't talk about them.
Well, I mean, yeah, but like,
I was gonna say the one person that talks about them the most is KJ.
That's because I think it's such a fascinating thing, and I see it happen to catchers a lot. Like, I played with another catcher in my travel ball team that had them. But the fact, so have you noticed them at all?
No.
Okay, that's good though, because that means we're covering them very well.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So I had no clue. So y'all are doing a great job.
No. Yeah. I think that's. I don't really know how. I think when my dad started to get sick was when they were getting really bad, because once you're not doing good mentally and you have that type of, I don't even know, like, it's not like a disease or nothing.
Yeah.
It's just like I don't know. It just happens. But whenever you're mentally, like, have a bad week or something is when they get worse. And me and Kay did talk about it a lot. I'm like, hey, I've had a bad week. I need you to, like, back up the pitcher or something. Because if you're back there, I know that, like, I'm comfortable throwing it back. But if she's not back there, I'm like, this might take a minute. But, yeah, I think that just that was really bad, especially last year, Lord. It came from I wouldn't say it came from, but I think my dad being very sick and me having to worry about, like, is this going to be his last day? You know, how many hours, how many minutes does he have left? That's all I would think about during the game. And I think that has a big impact on it. And sometimes I walk up to coach and I'm like, hey, I can't throw a softball today. Sometimes I'm like, hey, like, I'm good to go. My throwing feels great. So just it's had an impact on my career, of course, because that's all catchers do. But seeing last year, we were watching, I don't know, the selection show, or it was before the selection show. We were watching Utah or something like that. And the catcher behind Utah, she had it. And I was like, dang, maybe I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
I read a story about Baylor's catcher. She said she had it in high school and Baylor still offered her a scholarship. And she still has it to this day. Auburn softball catcher, they have it. She walks the ball back to the pitcher every single time. So just seeing other people and me not being the only one has kind of like comforted me in that situation. But, and then KJ, you know, I'm like, girl, you better get back there. Yeah, right there. But no, she's been doing good.
But I'm sure that goes kind of to the word you said for Coach Worthington was support.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
just see if, I'm sure there are a lot of coaches out there. You tell them that you've got that and like, nope, we're crossing that name off the list.
And she's gave me a lot of opportunities being back there, because I feel like you said, if I would have told, you know, some other coach that, like, I mean, I don't even know what to do. Like, it was just one day I was in bullpen and I don't know what it was. I just couldn't throw the ball back. And I remember asking Coach Molly, I was like, what is going on? Like, can you, like, get rid of this? Or, like, what? I had no idea what was going on. But I think, yeah, like, if I tell another coach, like, hey, I can't throw the ball back to the pitcher, they're like, well, like, you can't play. You know what I'm saying? So I think, yeah, like, her being supportive through that, her trying, all my coaches try to help me. Like, they're always telling me, well, try this, we'll try that. Let's see if this works. If it doesn't, cool, we'll just go back to what did work. But, and then also, like, her still believing in me to be up there at the plate and hit, like being a DH, is, you know, important for me. And it just goes back to like her being supportive through all that and still believing in me, even though I don't have part of my game right now. And it has affected my career a lot. Just, well, she might not be able to throw, but she can hit. She can score runners. So, but yeah.
That's crazy. No, I had no idea. So you never know what you're going to find out on the podcast. Is there any more like groundbreaking information? We're going to dig deep in here. All right. You ready for the wheel?
I'm ready.
All right.
I hope I don't get karaoke. I'm not trust.
All right. I'm going to trust KJ and you to spin it because I can't see it.
Okay.
Was it karaoke? First time we finally have a winner after going so long.
Are you?
You told me you had it ready, so here we go. The floor is yours.
It's Halo, my Beyonce.
Take it away.
Halo! I can't even do it.
That's a hard song to sing.
That is a hard song to sing.
That was a hard note.
That's actually embarrassing. Okay, can I spin the wheel again?
She wants to move on.
Yeah. What? It's definitely Halo, though.
Halo.
Yeah, what'd you sing for your freshman year whenever we have to do the bus?
Oh, I think I did Jason Derulo, Riding Solo.
Yeah. Can we hear you sing it?
No.
I forgot what I did my freshman year on the bus. I don't know. I felt so peer pressured.
Yeah.
That. I'm lying. Okay, I just have to pick a song. Absolutely. Okay. All right. I'll meet this again.
No way, you gotta do it again.
Okay. I'm on. Yeah.
Your worst sport.
Worst sport. Let's see. I'd probably have to say,
when you're so good, all of them, it's hard to decide.
Well, you know, we're just athletic.
Yeah, I thought the same thing about myself till you did that golf episode.
I found out that that was my worst.
I would say probably like track or cross country. I'm not a runner. I'm not fast. You know, if you watch my games, I get courtesy ran for like almost every time I get on base.
I think I've said this on a previous episode. Like, so you have track kids
mm-hmm.
that go out and run. In every other sport, running is your punishment.
Yeah.
If you do something wrong, go run.
Exactly.
What's your punishment for a track kid? Like, go run? They say, I think, okay, yeah, let's go run. Yeah.
I do.
They would love this.
Because my mom ran track for college. Like, that's what her sport was. And I think it was just like, if you do something wrong, you have to run extra.
Yeah.
So, like, the sprinters have to run distance.
I don't think they would like that, but.
I'm
not a sprinter, not a runner of any sort, but yeah. I don't know. Yeah, track would be a hard one to do, especially.
Yeah.
Distance or sprints or something like that.
I'm not fast. Yeah. I wish I was, but my dad was fast. I got my speed from my mom. So, but yeah, I wish I could steal a base. I wish I could run, you know.
Do you have a stolen base in your career?
Maybe like one. No, I mean, well, actually, Coach has given me the steal sign. Like twice this year.
Did you shake her off? Like, nope.
Oh, no. I'm going to go for it. Hey, if she gives it to me, if she thinks I can, I'm going to try. I might have to ask KJ for some tips on, you know, how to get there. Bam.
Every time Coach gives me a steal sign, I get caught.
Every time. Every time. What are you like? What do you
think? I'm tips? Like 12 and 15.
That's not even bad.
Okay, but I'm just saying, if I steal by myself, I got it. But once she gives it to me, it's
time. I was going to say, I mean, if she knows that they're throwing a changeup, that's probably when it'd be the best time.
Yeah, absolutely.
A fastball or, you know, a rise ball, where they just get they're already up there, you know. Don't, you know, I'm not going. I might as well just go back.
Yeah, exactly.
Dust one again.
You are right. You have 12 stolen bases.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know the number of attempts, but you do have 12.
That's good.
All right. Yeah, one more time.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
You're like.
Carry over.
Which teammate would you pick to be stuck on a deserted island with?
Ooh. Honestly, I'm going to have to say my dog, KJ. No, I don't lie.
I think that's a wise choice.
I think it is. Listen, you got the brains, and I feel like you could figure it out if, you know, mm-hmm. we're stuck. You know, I feel like I can do a little bit, you asked me to, but if it actually comes down to it, I might have to say KJ. I feel like if I was with you.
I wouldn't mind being stuck on a inserted island. Yeah. I think she could get me to safety.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I can figure something out.
I was going to say, we definitely figure something out. And, I mean, I feel like when I get around you, though, I kind of turn my brain off a little bit. Because I know that, like, half the time you know what you're talking about. So I'm like, hey, just listen to whatever she says. But no, yeah, I feel like she would carry us to, you know, a great job. If we were stuck, you would get us back safely.
Yeah.
If we just needed a troll moment, bro. If you just need a troll moment, if you just need something to laugh at, just go to KJ. I swear, she would make your day.
Lily, thanks so much for joining us. It's been great to talk to you, and I had a lot of fun talking to you. Best of luck in the tournament. Both of you all, best of luck in the tournament, and hopefully we're talking about a championship here soon.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Thanks.
And by the way, you do have 3 stolen bases.
I do.
Yeah. 2 in 2023, 1 last year, but none this year. Maybe you can just keep hitting home runs. It's hard to steal bases when you're constantly hitting home runs.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm not a fast runner, so I have to hit the ball far. Yeah. So I don't have to run, you know. But maybe in conference tournament, just be lucky enough to get at least one.
Yeah. Well, appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Jess. Thank you, Brian.
All right. Lily Davis has been our guest today here on the Kicking It with the Colonels podcast. Thanks so much for watching us here. And until next time, you've been kicking it with the Colonels.